All right, so Paul, let me reiterate this a little bit so I can get this on recording. It isn't about just an argument about what doctrine is right. It is about whether or not you are having any use from that sacrifice of Christ, right? You see what I'm saying? In chapter 5, I want to read these two things to you in chapter 5. One that occurs before the other does, but let me start out with this one. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, this is to the point of how you live your life. This isn't about the argument about what is about the law or grace. This is about simply, how do I apply this knowledge? I apply this knowledge by submitting myself to God. And if I do that, I will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, I bring this up particularly this point because one of the desires of the sinful nature is to justify yourself. Does everybody see where this is going? One of the desires of the sinful nature is to justify yourself, right? How many of you have ever been accused of something? It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong, whether they had the accusation right or wrong. But it didn't matter, did it? You were still going to justify yourself, weren't you? Whether their accusation was off base or on base, you were going to stand up for yourself and defend yourself. You were going to justify yourself. You were going to show that you yourself were in the right. This is an act of the sinful nature, isn't it? And you've got to be aware of this. And this is part of why Galatians is written to us. You have to be aware that it is an act of the sinful nature to justify yourself. And it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. You understand? It doesn't matter whether or not you are guilty or innocent. This hits to the heart of something that is uniquely Christian. Uniquely Christian. We do not stand up for ourselves. We leave that to God. We look for one person to justify us if we walk by the Spirit, and that is God. We do not try to defend ourselves. We look for God to defend ourselves. Right? How many of you understand? Do you believe that this is true? If somebody accuses you of something, even if they're wrong in what they accuse you, are you the one that stands up for yourself, or do you trust God? Are you the one that tries to convince everybody that you're right and they're wrong, or do you trust God? That you're in the right. It is an act of the sinful nature to justify yourself. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Now, there's a key in here in what I'm saying. Because we're focusing on just one part of the sinful nature, and that's the need to justify ourselves. Right? In fact, the whole thrust of Galatians is about whose justification are you depending on. Would you all agree to that? The whole thrust of the context of the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians is, who are you looking to justify you? Yourself or God? Right? Obviously, those of the circumcision group were looking to justify themselves. They had to have something to show that they were in the right. It had to be something that people could see. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The point is here, your nature desires to justify yourself. The nature of man desires to justify himself. That's a fact. If we take just this one aspect of all the acts of the sinful nature, this one is really to the center of what the book of Galatians is talking about. It is not God's will for you to justify yourself. You are desiring something that is contrary to the Spirit. And the spirit desires something that is contrary to the flesh. The spirit desires for you to trust God. So, you can understand through this that there are going to be situations where God is allowing you to be accused as part of your test of faith. Who are you going to trust to justify you? You see the point? Because there's a fact we overlook. And let me explain this. We look at individual acts, don't we? And God looks at nature. We look at individual acts. Now, the only reason the law ever focused us on individual acts is so that we could see the collection of our acts showed that we were rotten to the core. Is this true or not true? The collection of our individual acts together were evidence that we had a bad nature. Right? That's the only reason the law focused you on individual sins. To show you that in a multitude of ways, you were never going to be able to please God by that nature. But God deals with the nature, not with individual acts. But look at how men, short-sighted men are. You may be right in the place that somebody is accusing you now. They accuse you of doing something you didn't do. And you think, well, I should stand up for myself here because I'm innocent of this charge. But how many charges before that were you innocent of? 1, 5, 10, 15, 100? The fact is, it is your nature to sin, right? You want to pick and choose what acts you'll justify and which ones you won't. You say, well, that was wrong on that one, so I won't justify myself. But I'm right on this one, so I'll justify myself. Uh-uh. That's not how it works, is it? If you're truly walking according to nature, you're not trying to justify yourself by individual acts, ever. Because you know for a fact, all of us know for a fact, no matter how many times we've been right, we've been wrong a lot more, haven't we? Isn't this true? No matter how many times we've been misaccused of doing something wrong, that doesn't make us any more righteous, does it? Does it? See, we tend to look at it this way. I will stand up for myself on this one because I'm right. But I won't stand up for myself on that because I was wrong. And we make sin a matter of an act. But in actual, it's a nature. If you really understood that it is a nature, you would never justify yourself. Because it really doesn't matter how many times you've been right or wrong. What matters is you have a corrupt nature. What matters is you understand overall, I'm indefensible. But when you try to justify yourself on this thing and not that thing, then you're trying to say, well, you're basically reaching that point to where I think that the collective actions together will speak a different story of me. I'll be justified if you look at all my good stuff together. Now, I want you to think, because this is how short-sighted we are, isn't that what we're really thinking whenever somebody accuses us of something we didn't do? Or they say we're this when we're really not. We stand up and justify ourselves on that thing. And the reason we do that is because we're afraid people will get the wrong idea about us, that we're bad people. And the fact is that we're bad people was the right idea in the first place. You know, of ourselves. Right? I mean, when you justify yourself, aren't you really thinking that there is still something good in you? Well, they just accused me of this, and I didn't do that. Jesus, who could justify himself on every point, what did he do when he was accused? When they had him in front of the cross, when they had him in front of Herod and Pilate, it says he remained like a sheep before his shearers is dumb. Isn't this what he did? And they accused him of a lot of stuff he didn't do. Now, if Jesus, who was right in everything, who did he look to justify him and to speak for him? Who did he look to justify for him and to speak for him? His Father, exactly. So what's the example for you? What's the example for us? See, we, especially who cannot justify the majority of our acts, really need to look to God to justify us, don't we? Because there's no way we can justify ourselves. Do you? How many of you really see this point as being valid? That God will allow you to be tested, even be misaccused, so you'll get the point. It's a test of your faith. Will you depend upon Him, or will you justify yourself? The acts of the sinful nature are plain. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now, I can see several that have in there that have to do with this very point, right? Hatred can have to do with this, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy. All of these can be a source of self-justification, can't they? Because they're all points of pride. I'm first, I'm right, you're wrong. How dare you? It is always a case, when you stand up for yourself, it is always a case of you and pride. Isn't that it? Isn't that true? Now, most of the world doesn't see it this way. Well, if you're right, you should stand up. If they're misaccusing you, you should stand up. There is a big difference between telling the truth and justifying yourself. How many of you know where that line is? What is the difference between telling the truth and where that line is? Jesus showed that line very clearly when he was standing before Herod and Pilate, when he was standing before the Pharisees. Right? Pilate, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the son of God? You say that I am. There's a difference between making a distinction, yeah, as you say. There's a difference between making a distinction about what is true and what is not true and justifying yourself. How many of you can see the difference between those two things? If somebody says, you are a liar and you're not of God, I can say, well, that's not true. I can say that's not true. Or I could say, all men are liars, but God is true. There's a lot of things I could do about telling the truth. Very good when changed, telling the truth focuses on the Lord. Justification focuses on your ego. Standing basically how you look and not who we look to. Very good. I like the way you said that. How we look and not who we should look to. Very good. Because that's exactly the point. That's the difference between telling the truth and justifying yourself. Justifying yourself is an act of the sinful nature. How many of you agree with that? It is an act of the sinful nature. So Paul says, I tell you, if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That means trusting God. That's what living by the Spirit is, isn't it? All right. Now, so remember, this whole idea about the law and grace is not about an argument over doctrine. It's about real implication in your life. All right? And you are to live by the Spirit in dependence upon a living God and not upon yourself. And if you justify yourself, you make Christ's sacrifice of no use to you. And this is what it tells us. It is for freedom, Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you, if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have been alienated from Christ. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. Now, how does that work? You're basically saying that Jesus' sacrifice didn't pay the law for you. And if Jesus says, if you're starting to justify yourself by the law, then you're saying that Jesus' sacrifice was of no avail. That is what you're saying through your actions. Right? Whether that's what you meant to say is a totally different thing. But that is what you're saying. You're declaring to the world through your actions of trying to justify yourself by the law that Jesus' sacrifice does not justify you. That's at the heart of the matter here. It's not about an argument over doctrine. It's about the reality of what the true gospel is and how you are saved. How any of us are saved. And if Jesus is not your justification, then there is no justification for your sin, and Jesus will be of no use to you if you try to justify yourself. Because you're saying that I don't accept that sacrifice as my justification. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. There's no grace if you're standing on your own merits, is there? You see the point? If you're standing on your own merits, there's no grace. You're saying you don't need grace. Isn't that what you're saying? If I can fulfill the law by what I do, then I don't need Jesus. So you've been alienated from Christ, and you've fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for what we hope. And that's the resurrection. We are depending on God to bring us a righteousness that is not of ourselves. Right? A righteousness we could never earn of ourselves. And this is the heart of the matter. Paul is not just worried about whether people have some dead skin cut off. Paul is not just worried about whether or not people look like Jews or don't look like Jews. Paul is not worried about any of that. Paul is not worried about people's traditions. Paul is not worried about keeping up a certain appearance. He's worried about one thing, or concerned, rather, about one thing. That people would twist the gospel so that they miss the point that only Jesus' blood can justify us. That's why it's another gospel. And anything that would obscure the faith, that the fact that Jesus is our justification, obscures the truth of the gospel and leaves people in the lurch without salvation. So you've got to realize that this is a matter of life. This isn't a matter of doctrine. This is a matter of how you live in Christ. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And one of those chief desires is self-justification. You see how all this works together? Right? And so Paul tells him, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. In Christ that has no value. What value is your dependence upon Him, right? The only thing that counts is faith, depending on Him, expressing itself through love. In other words, allowing God to work through you. Because remember, it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Faith expressing itself through love. In other words, if you sow to the nature of the Spirit, that's whose Spirit will be working through you. You see how that connects real good? The only thing that matters, neither circumcision is nothing, or uncircumcision is nothing. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You see how that matches up with verse 16? So I say, live by the Spirit, the nature of God, love, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It's about whose nature is working through you. You have to be yielded to that nature, don't you? Because you have to choose who you'll serve. You'll either be yielded to the nature of sin, or you'll be yielded to the nature of Christ. And you make that choice every day in the way you live your life. And the minute you start depending upon yourself, or to do anything good of that sinful nature, then Christ is of no value to you. You're saying that sacrifice could not justify you, and that you don't need it, that you can do it yourself. So you can see how this whole issue isn't about doctrine. It's about reality. In other words, what I mean, it is about doctrine, but it's not about an argument over doctrine. It's not about simple words, or just an argument over what principle works better. It is about the difference between your salvation and not having salvation. It's the difference between God justifying you or you trying to justify yourself and spurning the very sacrifice that bought you. denying the very sovereign Lord who bought you. And this is what we have to reach our brothers and sisters with, is through this spirit of love. We have to express, and this is why we do not self-justify ourselves before them at all. And this is why we just speak the truth in love to them about their need for a Savior. Because anyone who's trying to justify themselves by law is saying they don't need a Savior. They're paying lip service to Jesus. Jesus was a great guy. But now I must keep the law. Huh? What? Jesus was a great guy, but now I must become a Jew physically for God to accept me. They don't realize what they're saying, do they? They're blinded. And we have to realize where we are blind in those areas of working by the means of the flesh and labeling the Spirit on it. And one of those things is self-justification. Right? How can God rise to your defense if you already have? Think about it. How can God, through a miraculous display of His power, deliver you from your enemies if you've already decided you're going to do it yourself? And you know what? Those people who walk by that nature will not wait upon the Lord to see what He will do. But you will, if in fact you are led by the Spirit. Because one of the chief virtues of being led by the Spirit is patience and long-suffering. Waiting upon God to show you true. Waiting upon God to show you faithful. Waiting upon God to testify that you are His. And He will, won't He? In all of these situations, He will. But His way and His time. See, that's the whole thing about faith. You must defer to God. You must do it His way. And we have lots of examples like that in life, right? How many of you had something good was going to happen and you couldn't wait and you rushed the gun? And then you found out later you'd have been better off waiting. Like a couple eloping. I want it now. And then later on you say, man, home, none of my family got to be there. None of my family got us to see us married. It doesn't even feel like a real marriage now. You know, we were in such a hurry, and now all of these things, look at all the gifts we missed out on, and look at all the blessings we missed out on, and look at that. You know, a lot of people who have eloped regret it later, don't they? But that's not really the point. The point is, they rushed in to do something themselves that they would have, should have had to have patience to wait to happen in a good way. And that's the whole thing about you walking with God. A lot of things is people want to do it themselves when they don't see something happening. That's not faith. One of the grandest parts of faith is patience and long-suffering. That's where you really come to know who it is you serve. And if you have faith, you wait, right? You wait upon the Lord to do His thing. I can't tell you how many mistakes I've made by rushing ahead to do things my way. Only to find out, if I'd have waited upon the Lord, that would have been faith. And God glories in those things. God glories in those things. Where He can show Himself strong. Where He testifies that you are His child. He glories in those things. But it's all in His way, in His time. You know, it's just like the girl that came in here. She's wearing the name Prophetess on her name because she wants everybody to see she's a prophetess. Right? That's what she believes about herself. You know, do you think that anybody who's truly waiting on the Lord to testify to them as to what they are would need to put the name Prophetess in front of their name? If you are what God wants you to be, it's He who testifies to you. You're not going to see anybody who's an apostle or a prophet or a prophetess walking around with that name in front of them unless it's already been acknowledged to the world by God. Unless it's already been acknowledged to the world by God. You're going to see people who are more concerned about the work and doing what God called them to do than what people call them. Because that's their walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. The flesh, though, needs somebody to say, look at me, look at me. I'm important. Self-justification. Self-exaltation. Those are all obvious desires of the flesh, aren't they? So can you see what it really is? When we think about the difference and explaining to brothers and sisters about law and grace, let's remember what it's really about. It's about their salvation. It's not about an argument. It's not about who seems right. It's about what is right, because the very heart of the gospel is at stake. It's about how people are taught and what they're taught. So that a dependence of God starts from the beginning instead of building into that fleshly dependence upon self. Because when you do that, what happens? You make the grace of Christ of none effect, don't you? That's a good place to stop.